Hello and welcome to Inside Network Marketing. This is your host, Len Clements, and this is July 17th, 2009. I believe this is show number 10. I am the CEO and founder of MarketWave as well. If you'd like to check out what my company does and how we serve the network marketing industry, you can go to marketwaveinc.com and see everything that we offer there, including archives of all the past podcasts of the Inside Network Marketing Show, as well as various other tools and information available to prospects and distributors for the industry. So check us out. I just want to get a little bit of house cleaning out of the way here before I dive into the subject of GlobalVerge, which is going to be the only topic for today's show. In fact, I'm not even going to do a commercial break. I'm just going to like fly right through this, try not to have this be another hour and 20-minute marathon. You know, a lot of you have requested updates on GlobalVerge since the last podcast. So, and there has been a lot of updates and a lot of new information, so I want to keep you abreast of what's going on there. The first thing I want to do is apologize for the sound quality of the last podcast. I know some of you complained that there was a lot of background noise, and as I listened to it back, there sure enough there was, because my air conditioner and my ceiling fan is actually very loud. So I've got those off today, even though it's 117 degrees outside. I've turned my air conditioner and my ceiling fan off just for you. I hope you all appreciate how much I suffer for you all. In fact, I'm looking at the thermometer on my wall, and the temperature in here has went up 2 degrees just since I started talking. It's almost 88. I'm sure it'll be 100 by the time this is over. I also wanted to let you know, too, that if you want other information about GlobalVerge, there are some other sources out there from some people that are kind of keeping up on it. Troy Dooley has a good video podcast that he's doing. You can Google him. Sorry, Troy, I didn't look up your website. I should have done that before I gave you a plug there. But he's been doing a very fair and, I think, reasonable presentation of what's going on and the information that he's been checking out. Also, Rod Cook, by the way, over at the MLM Watchdog site has been commenting on GlobalVerge, but he's been kind of out of commission the last few days. If you haven't heard, I think it was Monday, Rod was having some chest pains related to his lungs, not his heart. He's had some pneumonia the last few days. And his wife, Marcy, took him into the emergency room, and they did some chest x-rays and found some abnormalities in the x-ray. So he is still in the hospital, and his assistant, Marcy, not his wife, Marcy, but she called me back yesterday and just gave me a little update, which I very much appreciate, and I'm sure they'll be doing further updates at the MLMWatchdog.com site. So if you all want to send your well wishes and your prayers to Rod and Marcy, again, he is in the hospital right now with at least pneumonia, so that's why Rod has not been commenting on them the last few days as well, too. But hopefully I can pick up the slack here. And by the way, Rod, if you're listening, if you thought you were getting a lot of product samples from people around the industry before, wait till you check your mailbox now. Because one thing I will say for all of you, you're all a generous bunch with your products. In fact, all I did was make a little comment, I think, on the last podcast about how my voice is going out, and I get a sore throat every now and then because I've been talking way too much recently. And Caleb Eaton, I'm going to give you a plug out there. Caleb, I really appreciate the spray and the lozenges that you sent me for my voice situation over there at the Young Living products that you sent me. And it's interesting, too, because when I got your little handwritten letter, I started to read it, and I saw the two products, and I was kind of anxious to try them. So immediately I just tried the products first, and then I read the rest of your letter. So I tried the spray first. You know, I spritzed that in the back of my mouth, and then as I was opening up the lozenges, I picked up the spray bottle and decided to, that after I'd sprayed it in my mouth, I was going to read the suggested uses, which say, spray on surfaces such as kitchen and bathroom counters, public seating, and anywhere germs may be present. Caution, not for use on infants or on sensitive areas of the body. Keep out of reach of children and members of Mensa who get products in the mail from people and spray it into their mouth before they read these directions. But then I read the rest of your letter, and you did mention that some people do actually spray that in their mouth. So apparently, yeah, it didn't kill me. So, but I'm sticking with the lozenges, and actually I think they're helping. So I appreciate it. Thanks a lot there, Caleb. Let's get into this. GlobalVerge. What I'm going to do here is a little bit different kind of a tactic. I have been trying for weeks now to have a conversation with somebody from GlobalVerge Corporate or Buzzerk Mobile or whatever you want to call them. Just so you know, there's Unified Technologies Group. That's the big billion-dollar technology company, which created a arm called 01 Mobile, which was going to market this cell phone technology. And then they partnered with GlobalVerge, an existing network marketing company, which then created a marketing division called Buzzerk Mobile, which is going to now market this phone for 01, the division of Unified Technologies Group. So there's how the little downline hierarchy of all the players looks here. When I actually originally contacted them and by email and I sent some questions, Ted Robbins did respond to me. He's the president of the company. Now, he did respond that he was very busy, and of course they were traveling and so forth. He eventually did give some very short answers to some questions that I sent, which of course was right after my last podcast, because I did wait a couple of weeks with no response, and we couldn't connect up or to have an interview online. But then after that, I said, well, you know, I appreciate these questions, which I'll get to in a moment, by the way, how he answered them. I said, what's the earliest possible time that you would have an hour available? Because I understand you're really busy and you're traveling and things like that. And he eventually did get back and said it would either be the 13th or the 14th of July. And this was right at the beginning of the month. So I said, I wrote him back and I said, let's do it the 13th, 1 o'clock. And then no response for days. And then the morning of Monday, this last Monday, which was, I believe that was the, 13th? Yeah. I got a little one-sentence email from him just saying that their director of communications would have to set this call up. So obviously the call didn't happen that day, and their director of communications, whoever that is, that was supposed to contact me very soon, this is now Friday, and no one's contacted me. So I really tried. I really did. And so I'm going to go with all the questions that I would have asked had Ted Robbins or Mark Petchel or somebody from Global Verge, Buzzerk Mobile, gotten on this call, and I was able to ask them. So a lot of these questions are rhetorical. Some of them I already have the answers to, and I'll provide them. But basically, you're going to get a list of about 30 questions. And here are the questions I think everyone should be asking. Everyone out there that's a diehard devotee to this thing, ask these questions. That's all I'm asking of you. Because obviously there's a lot of you out there that are just not asking the questions, not the right questions. You're not asking any questions at all. You're blindly following everything you're being told, and you really need to do some due diligence here and check these things out. Here are the types of questions you should be asking. First of all, where in the heck is Global Verge and Buzzerk Mobile located? Now, these are supposed to be the marketing arms of a product that has a billion-dollar company behind it. Now, I understand they don't want a lot of people bugging them at their home office, but there should be a home office someplace. There should at least be a physical facility somewhere. This is not the kind of operation you want out of somebody, you know, running out of somebody's home or at an address that's deliberately hidden. Now, the 110 North Jefferson Street address in St. Louis, Missouri, which was all over their website up until about a week ago when the current actual resident of that address, as I understand it, asked them to take it down, that address, because they were getting checks in the mail, and they were getting people showing up at their office going, where's these Global Verge guys? That's not their location. That's not their address. They haven't had offices there for well over a year. They also have an address at 1500 East Tropicana Street, Suite 132 in Las Vegas. That's supposed to be their new 01 address that they just launched here. Well, I live in Las Vegas, and so I drove to that address, and I stood right in front of Suite 132, and it's a unoccupied room. The lights were off in the middle of a work day. The door was locked, and there was a color laser-printed sheet of paper taped to the door that said Suite 132. No name, no 01, no Unified Technologies, no Global Verge, no Buzzerk Mobile. Even on the sign out in front of the building that said all the different businesses that were in this building, none of them were listed. Now, coincidentally, right across the hallway from this is Suite 107A, which is the manager of the office complex. So I spoke to him, and he said that he did recognize the name Mark Petchel and Ted Robbins, and said that they had been there a couple of weeks earlier to pick up some mail. That's the last that he had seen of them. Anyway, I guess they do lease that to at least pick up some mail. And it appears that about all of the addresses associated with these companies are virtually all mail drops. Okay, there's a 01 address at 7473 West Lake Mead Boulevard, Suite 100 in Las Vegas. That's Town Executive Suites. That's essentially one of those places where, you know, a whole bunch of companies have the same address and someone answers the phone and they take mail and so forth. It's not their actual office. United Technologies Group says they have a head office at 1001 Craig Road. That is also a mailbox, executive suite shared by many companies. The main mailing address on the UTG website, 1140 Collinsville Boulevard in Collinsville, Illinois, that is actually a place called the Mailbox Store, you know, like a little UPS store, that kind of a thing. Their registered address in Centerville Road in Wilmington, Delaware, is Mail Drop, an executive suite. Their office and mailing address on Polk Street in Richardson, Texas, Mail Drop, executive suite. Their registered address on 9th Avenue in Calgary, Alberta, Mail Drop, executive suite, shared by many different companies. They also got a registered address on West Main Street in Salem. Now that building, 2223 West Main Street, that's where their URL is registered if you do a Whois search for it. That's a little small building in a rural area. You can see it from Google. If you look on both sides of the street, one you see a field, on the other side you see a little one-story building that has it looks like an attorney and coincidentally a Verizon office. I don't know if there's any connection. There probably isn't. But the point is, if you look at that or the Whitaker address in Salem, Illinois, it's also on the UTG website. Okay, well, that's also, you know what, I think I got that backwards. The Whitaker Suite address, I think that's the one-story building that has the attorney and the Verizon and a field and a little lumberyard next to it in the rural area. The West Main Street, Salem, Illinois address is just another little small building in like a little residential kind of area out in the. Bottom line is that big, giant 20-story building that you see the picture of on the UTG website, it ain't at any of these addresses. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. Somebody took a picture of a building someplace, but it's not at any of these addresses. We don't know where any of these companies are actually physically located. Now, to me, I don't know. That'd be a red flag. Why does Global Verge, Buzzard Mobile, Zero One, and United Technologies Group all have no Better Business Bureau record? Never heard of all four of those companies, including the multi-billion-dollar company. Why, for example, Global Verge has a state business license in Missouri, and they have a state business license in Nevada. The state business license in Nevada has Mark and Ted as all of the officers of the company, and it appears that their personal addresses are their registered agent's address, not their actual addresses. Zero One has a state business license in Nevada, it does, but it's under the name of their executive VP and CFO of United Technologies Group, which is also, I'm not going to name the guy because I don't know him, I don't know what his association is with this, but he's another player here that also, besides all of those titles, is also the president, secretary, treasurer, and director of Zero One. He apparently holds six different positions with those two companies, and the address that he has on Desert Lane is a mail drop. Buzzard Mobile does have a state license also in Nevada, which they got back in July of 06, also again naming Mark and Ted as all of the officers. But nonetheless, there almost seems to be a deliberate attempt here to make sure that nobody can find out where anybody's located. The BuzzardMobile.com and Buzzard.com URLs were registered in early 2006. I mean, this is something that they've been trying to do for some time now. This isn't a new business that they've just launched. And of course, they've said that on their calls that they've been working on this for about 3 years now. They've been open about that. But you know, on the GlobalVerge.com website, why is it that the Who We Are section doesn't say who they are? Doesn't even say who the people are. The contact link at the bottom of it, as I mentioned on the last podcast, what was that, 2-3 weeks ago? It's still dead. The link doesn't go anyplace to where you can contact them. The link just doesn't work. The Whois contact information, if you do a Whois search, again, on the URL, they've chosen the option to hide it. So you can't see who the registered owner is of that globalverge.com domain name. Why does the phone lines always ring to voicemail or a mailbox full message? And I've seen this all over the net. No one can reach anyone live at any of these companies. And why is Global Verge and Buzzard Mobile just now hiring senior management and building support tools? They've talked about this on just recent calls. Now, this is something they've been working on for 3 years. According to Mark Petchel, I've got him on tape that I've recorded talking about the millions of dollars that they've put into this company. And right when they launch around July 1st, they're talking about their hiring senior management and building the support tools and things like that to support the company. Shouldn't all of that have been done quite some time ago? Why are there no phones to even all of the reps for the company, the actual cell phones, let alone the public? When you know, Mark Petchel explained that having the entire infrastructure and support system already in place was why Zero One went with them. That was the advantage of, instead of Zero One and Unified Technologies Group spending the millions of dollars to put these in stores and create all this infrastructure themselves, it was already in place with Global Verge. In fact, here's a conversation between Mark Petchel and Ben Polani, the owner of Zero One and Unified Technologies Group, a little soundbite of them discussing that right here.
Infrastructure, the warehousing inventory, we have all that in place so that day one, we can turnkey this and put on 100,000, 200,000 subscribers where it would take your average NVNE or your average carrier a year, year and a half, and probably $80 million to do that. So we can do that very quickly.
You have an avenue to be able to get this into the marketplace, and ultimately that's, you know, the end game for everyone. So
very, very quickly and very efficiently.
Here's another reassuring soundbite from early May of this year.
Take a lottery, or you know, we're gonna get out some beta test phones, and then July 1st, watch out, because we have unlimited supply, we have unlimited capabilities, and it's just gonna be very, very exciting.
So again, if all of this infrastructure was already in place, what's the challenge with getting more than just a few phones out to just their triple diamonds, and with getting, you know, all of the infrastructure in place and the programming and the sales aids and the websites? And why is that not already completed? By the way, what happened to BizBuzz and eVerge, the previous incarnation of these two companies that these gentlemen tried to start back in 2006? I mean, they were promising products for months that was never delivered, and then these companies folded. I mean, here's a segment of one of their old calls from back then in the eVerge days, not Global Verge, where they're talking about the VoIP phones that they're coming out with.
This program, we are going to be having our own ISP, Internet Service Provider, called Berserk.com. We are coming out, folks, with voice over IP that will be comparable in terms of pricing to that of Vonage. And if you look at Vonage...
Okay, that was recorded April 2nd, 2006. How about this comment that they made?
But how would you like to have a cellular plan that not only gives you unlimited U.S., but unlimited Canada, and unlimited world with unlimited text and web for less than the carriers are selling it, and a better commission? And that's what we have. We're loading it onto our model, and next Tuesday we'll have a major, major, major announcement on the cellular that will blow everybody away, that we've been working on and raising money for and really finishing this up, and I'm just very excited.
Okay, that unlimited plan they were talking about that in October of 2008. So, again, this, I don't know how this could be the current, you know, 01 phone that they're talking about, because they never mentioned 01 or Unified Technologies Group or anything, but I'll get to more to that in a minute. You know, they have claimed, in response actually to something that Rod did, that Amped Mobile was their supplier, that was their provider, and they failed back in mid-2007, and that's why the company failed. It was out of their control. But they were still pitching this VoIP phone and this, and the service and everything at the end of 2007, which you heard on the previous podcast. So they were still promoting the same thing. Supposedly eVerge had some kind of hostile takeover where they sold a bunch of money and their partners ripped them off. But why is there no lawsuit? I mean, I've looked on Pacer. I subscribed to it. I've looked in the Missouri court system. I mean, no place did anybody pursue this legally. Why not? I mean, what's the rest of that story? That, again, I wish I could have asked that to somebody. What about this meeting that they had with this multi-billionaire who was going to set them up with this new phone service like they're talking about here?
Well, thank you, Mark, and we're really kicking Berserk Mobile and our wireless opportunity in high gear. We're moving really forward, and guys, the people are taking a look at this. Mark and I are meeting with a honest-to-goodness, true billionaire, one of the richest men in the world, just bought a company for $12 billion. And they manufacture cellular hand devices, handheld. They manufacture WiMAX, Wi-Fi. They manufacture antennas, gateways, everything that we need to do to really launch this globally. We're very excited. You know, they were very technical.
Okay, now that was from November of 2008. So again, it sounds like they're still talking about 01, but if that's the case, then why the whole first quarter of this year were they pitching T-Mobile? All the calls were about their T-Mobile service, which then about April, when they would have had a big show here, where they probably would have met Ben Polani, and then in early May, everything with T-Mobile is over, except for there's one call where they're talking about the 01 thing they're going to come out with, and, oh, if you don't want that, you just want a regular phone service, we still have T-Mobile, but that was for one call, then never mentioned T-Mobile again. All completely switched over. So they're not talking about 01 in these sound bites that you just heard. I mean, and if they were, why were they pitching T-Mobile for 3 months while they were already working on this deal when they knew they were never going to really go with that? I mean, it just, nothing makes sense here. What about Mark Petrel's security fraud indictment? You know, I mean, he pled guilty and received probation in 2005 for 5 years. He is technically still on probation. It ends in the middle of next year. part of that, by the way, restricts him from offering any type of investment advice or offering investments or, you know, suggesting that anyone pursue any type of investment, anything like that. Now, I have spoken to his probation officer, and his probation officer refers to it as a fine line as to whether or not suggesting someone join a network marketing company as an income opportunity might violate that probation. He's not sure. It's not up to him. But he has said that the probation court is looking into it to see if, in fact, that is a violation of his probation. Personally, I don't think it is, because I don't think a network marketing company is a security in any way, and I don't think that's going to be an issue. But the point is, they're looking into it. And also, this has been kicked up to the Attorney General of Missouri. All of this has been referred to the Attorney General of Missouri to see if they want to pursue an investigation. I'm not saying they're investigating them. It simply has been referred to them, like, is this something that you do want to investigate? Just the fact that they've even taken that step, I think, would be a little disconcerting. And just for the record, all of this had already occurred by the time I ever contacted any of them. All right, so I don't have anything to do with this. It was already in play, and I heard about it after the fact. All right, so, you know, if you're in this deal, hold your flame mail. It wasn't my fault. But that's what I have verified is going on behind the scenes here. Now, what about the pay plan? Does the $79.95 mobile fee go into the matrix, or doesn't it? Now, I've heard that it was just a $10 straight fee. I've heard that it's $10, and in the very beginning, back last May, they were talking about $15 being paid out, $10 to the sponsor, $5 going into the matrix. But then all discussion of that stopped for a while, and now today, I'm actually having two sets of arguments, one with these two guys that swear it doesn't go into the matrix, and my implying that they said it did, and they were being disingenuous somehow by saying it's going into the matrix when it's not going into the matrix. The matrix is completely separate from the $79.95 mobile fee. That's just a $10 like one time, like I talked about in the last podcast. They're saying, Len, you're completely wrong. No one has ever said it goes into the matrix. They've never said that. And the other two guys I'm arguing with, one of them claims to be one of their triple diamonds, is saying, oh, it does go into the matrix, Len. They had every right to say that it was going into the matrix, and they weren't being disingenuous because it is going into the matrix. Yeah, I mean, their own top distributors don't even know if the actual monthly $79.95 plan, or $89.95 if you want international calling, is going into the matrix or not. So that would be the question I would have asked, because, you know, I would like a definitive answer to that question. I would think that if the major product that you've been pitching and you've been hyping, you've been promoting so heavily, was actually in your 3x9 matrix multi-level compensation plan, I don't think there would be any mystery about that, would there? Wouldn't it be pretty obvious one way or the other? Wouldn't it be right there on your website? Which it isn't. By the way, I've been told if you sign up in the back office, it'll show you how all of that works. But why isn't it being said right there openly on the Global Verge website in their Global Verge compensation plan? Not one word of it going into the matrix. That'd be a huge selling point if it was. Why don't they mention it? I don't know. And for that matter, how does the e-associate packages? We talked about this on the last podcast. These are these packages that you purchase in Global Verge that have nothing to do with the phone. This is the discount buyer service, the travel booking website, you know, all these types of things. How do these e-associate packages that clearly only distributors would buy, I mean, how do you make money from those without recruiting a new distributor? Because legally, based on precedent, there's no law, but based on tons of legal precedent, you can only pay commissions on something that someone can realistically buy and then resell to someone who just wants the product. It doesn't have to be to that. Most of the products can be sold to distributors as long as they genuinely want it, because it actually has value. In other words, would they have purchased it even if there were no income opportunity? Why would anyone ever purchase one of these e-associate packages where the large majority of the income is coming from in Global Verge? I mean, why would they purchase that if there were no income opportunity, if they didn't have to qualify for anything in the plan? In fact, I played some sound bites, I think, on the last call, or either I quoted them on the last podcast, where some of their top leaders are on the phone outright saying that you buy these things and you upgrade to them to make more money. And someone even asked during a Q&A section, would I upgrade for the product? And the leader of the call says, no, you would upgrade when it's financially advantageous to do that. So, I mean, clearly you would have to recruit to make money for these things. You can't make any other money any other way. Now, a lot of people have responded, well, Len, but But yeah, you can make money from their water systems, or you know, from these other things that they sell. Well, and I have no problem with those. That's fine. But the analogy I use, and some of you regular listeners are probably getting tired of hearing this analogy, but it's kind of like if you had a pharmacy and 90% of your products were aspirin and Tylenol and legal medications, so you use that as your excuse for the other 10% to be crack cocaine. Well, but 90% of our product is all these legal products. It still doesn't mean 10% can't be illegal drugs. So that's fine that they pay commissions on legally commissionable products, but when the most of the money is coming from e-associate packages and you have to recruit to make money from those, that would be very legally problematic. Now, they're claiming now that I got to be wrong because one of the best MLM attorneys out there, Gerald Nira from Nira & Walk, which actually is one of the best MLM law firms out there, well, they're claiming that he's been retained and he's reviewed everything and he's checked everything out, just like they're saying right here.
Another thing is that we've hired Jerry Nira. He's taken over from our first attorneys. Jerry is looking through our comp plan, helping us expand into other countries, making sure that we're our comp plan and we're all approved on the MLM side, and working with our other corporate attorneys to make sure everything flows very, very well. So we're doing what we feel.
Now, see, there's only one problem with all of that, though. It's completely untrue. Mr. Nira is actually a friend of mine, and I have contacted him, and I have asked him what his relationship is, and he has confirmed that he did sign a retainer agreement with him, but he has never received the first payment, and he has not been put on retainer yet. Okay, he is not being retained at this point by Global Verge or Buzzuk or any of these things, and he says he has not reviewed or approved anything associated with this company. And by the way, that soundbite that you just heard, that's not that far off from a lot of others that are out there. I mean, it is not. There's no way to spin this to be like a misunderstanding or something. It's just flat out not true. Now, it may be true in the very near future, but when they're saying it, what they're saying, it's not true. Gerald Nira, or as far as I know, any MLM attorney has not reviewed everything and approved it and made sure everything was fine. Now, in this compensation plan, since I'm on that particular topic, how can someone realistically make over $1 million per month in Global Verge? Because that's what they're saying, and not renegade overzealous distributors. I'm talking about corporate. They're saying you can make up to $1 million per month in Global Verge. Or for that matter, you could make this.
But you know, he's a superstar. He's never hit that $1 million a month mark. And when we lay out the comp plan that we have with Global Verge, he can not just hit $1 million, but he can hit $2, $3, $4, $5 million. When people understand this marketing plan, and I think Saturday Jim's going to go through it.
That's right, folks. They just said $3, $4, or $5 million per month. They were talking about earnings. These things, by the way, are posted online at talkshoe.com, I believe it is. You can listen to it yourself in the proper context to prove it. But they're talking about earnings, getting a check for up to $5 million per month. Okay, $2.5 million, by the way, is allegedly the all-time record for the largest monthly check ever achieved in network marketing. It was a Nikon distributor in Japan back in the late 80s. I also found out, too, that the guy never made more than $750,000 in any month before or after. Poor guy, you know. I wish my check would drop from $2.5 million to only $750,000. Yes, we could all have that problem. But anyway, yeah, they're going to make $5 million a month in this program. And apparently from just this $10, and they were talking about the phone, by the way. The phone. So you would have to personally enroll, not a downline now, you would have to personally enroll 500,000 customers and make 10 bucks off of each one of them to make $5 million a month, but that's what they're talking about. I wonder if that could be considered an income claim for the purpose of inducement into joining, which is what the FTC would consider an income claim. But again, just another question. 01 and the phones. First of all, and I hate to, I don't know Ben Polani. He seems like a good guy. I think he's going to kind of get sucked into the vortex of this whole thing. And as you'll see coming up, I think he's kind of seeing the writing on the wall, and there may be some falling out in their relationship. I'll get to that in a minute. You know, he was arrested for drunk driving in mid-June. Now, I don't want to excuse this. I certainly don't want to be an apologist for anybody getting arrested for drunk driving. I'm not a fan of drunk driving. Of course I'm not. And one of the biggest, it's a tangent I don't want to get on right now, but It reminds me of the story where this guy in Florida, you probably heard this like a year or two ago, where he had 16 drunk driving arrests before he finally hit this girl and killed her. And I remember talking to some friends back then going, okay, so when you go in front of a judge and you've had six, let's say, drunk driving arrests, how do you ever have the opportunity to have a seventh, let alone go in front of a judge after 10 and get the opportunity to have an 11th, or go in front of a judge after 15 drunk driving arrests and have the opportunity to have a 16th while you kill someone? I would think after the third or fourth, everybody makes an honest mistake. You know, sometimes you can drink and it hits you when you're in the car, whatever the situation might be. I don't know. But certainly after three or four, shouldn't the only thing that you're driving for the rest of your life is the riding mower on the prison baseball field? But anyway, this has nothing to do, by the way, with Mr. Polanyi. I'm just ranting about these stupid judges and laws out there, but that's another story. The thing that bothers me about this is a multimillionaire who owns a billion-dollar company that spent allegedly $30 to $50 billion to buy up the wavelengths and stuff to prepare for the rollout of this phone, yet when he went out drinking and got a little intoxicated, somehow wasn't able to have someone drive him home. Now, I get how rich guys like to drive themselves, because they like their fancy cars. I mean, you don't want someone else drive you on your, Maserati or whatever it is you own. So that part I get on the way out. But after you've drank and on the way back, can't you call someone can't you afford a cab? Can you call your driver? You know, isn't there some way for a multimillionaire who owns a billion-dollar company to get home after he's been drinking without crashing it into a parked car, which is what happened, and then getting arrested for... So, no, it's the aftermath of it. It's the logic of that and reconciling it with how big and powerful and, financially strong these companies are supposed to be. That's the part I'm having a trouble reconciling here. This has nothing to do personally against Mr. Polanyi. And for that matter, why would a company spend $30 to $50 billion with no return on that at all? You would think that there would be a lot more buzz, for lack of a better term, pardon the pun, out there about a company that did that. I mean, did they have like investors or board of directors or anybody that said, look, you've spent $30 to $50 billion out. When's the money going to start coming back in? And to make the money come back in, would you really go with a little startup, like relatively young network marketing company that was selling a bunch of stuff that had nothing to do with phone technology? Isn't something kind of wrong with that picture? By the way, I can answer the question about why the board of directors probably didn't mind, because all of the board of directors, besides Ben himself, the other three all have the last name of Polanyi, which has always been another challenge. For some of you know, I sent out an alert where I made the offer I could, for $60, I would do a little review of your company and give you a quick opinion of it, which, by the way, I'm never going to do again because 46 of you took me up on it. Multiply that by 30-minute phone calls. You can understand why my voice is going bad. But anyway, the point is that one of the sections I put in the evaluation was nepotism. Because there is actually a lot of companies out there that where the last names of the owner or the CEO or whatever, they all have the same last names, and I'm not talking Smith. They're obviously relations. The problem I have with that is of the entire pool of talent out there that could hold these various positions, what are the odds that the most qualified person for that position would be an immediate family member, or a brother-in-law or a cousin or whatever? So anyway, the board of directors, they're all apparently relations of Mr. Polanyi in this multi-billion-dollar company. Again, it's just a question. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just asking the question. Is 01 still offering an exclusive to Global Verge or Buzzerk Mobile? Because apparently in the beginning, they did have an exclusive, and the way it was described by one of their leaders, now this was not a corporate call, but this was a leader that claimed to have direct contact with corporate, they did openly discuss that there was an agreement with 01 where they had to do 50,000 subscribers within 6 months to maintain their exclusive. Now, it wasn't defined to maintain their exclusive in MLM or maintain their exclusive, period, anyplace. Because we already know now, I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but they don't have an exclusive. They're going to be put in big box stores like Best Buy and Kmart and things like that. That was just announced on the call last night by Mr. Polanyi. Now, again, whether that's always been the deal or not, I've heard calls very early on where they did openly, in fact, Ted Robbins openly admitted that the exclusive was only in MLM. So I do have a soundbite of him saying that. So it does. So he was very open about it. So it does sound like this exclusive is only for MLM, but they do got to put in 50,000 people in 6 months. And, of course, they're bragging about the fact that, oh, we'll do that in 30 days. You know, we're going to have 100,000 or 200,000 people in 6 months. These are the types of numbers that they're claiming, so that, you know, that little quota they had wasn't going to be a problem. But, you know, do they even still have the exclusive in MLM now? Because I would wonder, why are all the other Global Verge products suddenly getting so much attention on the calls? The last few calls, they're really starting to downplay the mobile phones, and they're playing up all of the other products, the travel website and the water machine that they sell and all these other products that they've always sold. Suddenly those are moving back to the forefront, and they're reminding everyone, like, look, we're not just a cell phone company. We've got all these other great products. It's almost as if they're kind of setting everybody up for the possible loss of the cell phone. So, again, I don't know if that's true, but it's just interesting how this cell phone is supposed to be the big deal, and this is what the thousands and thousands of people are signing up for, and suddenly they're promoting all of these other products. For that matter, is 01 even still supplying Global Verge or Buzzic Mobile with phones at all? I mean, listen to this soundbite from a call from just last week.
He kind of told us yesterday that he wants to hold off sending out any other SIMs or handsets until we have this call and everybody understands. So, when you get this message in the notifications, when Ted pushes it to you over the next few days, please listen to it, and everybody please abide by it. You know, we don't want to lose this opportunity.
Now, there's where they're being, again, I admire them for their candor, but they're telling people flat out that, you know, they've got some problems with distributors in the field, some compliance problems. I'm sure, you know, the technology industry, the communications industry is a very strict industry. There's a lot of policies that you have to follow. It looks, there's no other way to interpret that than 01 has said, look, we're holding off until you guys, you know, get your act together here and everybody gets trained and they get, you know, they start following the proper compliance and so forth. I think that's why, the question would be, why was there no mention of the training and certification until June 30th? I think we've just answered my own question here. Because on June 30th, by the way, it was the first time they ever announced to anybody that you have to get trained and certified before you can retail the phones. If you're going to take these phones and resell them as a retailer, which, of course, everybody should do, that's what makes a legal network marketing company. You're buying a product you can resell. It's not just distributors buying them, and that's the only way you can make money. You've got to be able to resell them. To do that now, you need certified. You've got to take a test. You've got to pass a certification test. They never mentioned this the entire time they were pitching this. The first time, by the way, I've got all the calls, I've collected them all, and I've actually listened to them way too much, actually. But June 30th was the first mention of any kind of certification or training, which would have been right before this announcement that 01's holding off the phones until this compliance issue gets taken care of. Interesting. 01 launched their $69.95 service in early April. So why is that not available now? I mean, they've already openly discussed on their calls convincing 01 to mark it up $10 to $79.95 to support the compensation in the Global Verge system, you know, the $10 bonus that they pay. If 01 was already offering this in early April, why does nobody except for a few select triple diamonds, and not even all of their triple diamonds, and I'll get to that in a minute too, why is it so limited as far as availability? When a company only has a product that only goes to a few of their own distributors and can't get out there to the public, isn't that a problem?
Well, apparently one of the company's lead spokesmen, who had just been introduced by Mark Petrel, agreed because he said this.
Do you realize that most of the people out there that are currently involved with network marketing companies, there's an inducement of a 90% failure rate? And why is that? It's because that the product is confined and restricted to the distributor base, which creates more recruiting.
Yep. By the way, that was back in their previous company in 2006. That was a comment related to eVerge, and I agree with him. Why does 01 claim on their site to have one, and this is, by the way, this is 01 we're talking now, not Global Verge or Buzzard Mobile, that they won, quote-unquote, best in show at the CTIA event in Las Vegas, which was in early April, when a company called Top Global won Best in Show at the CTIA event in Las Vegas. And it still says that to this day in the upper right-hand corner of the 01 website. They won Best in Show. They didn't win Best in Show. Why do they say on that same website that they were the, quote, best overall product, 01 Mobile, end quote? It also says best of CTIA Wireless 2009, end quote.
Now, here's the quote where they're actually accurate. 01, chosen one of CTIA's top five products of the year in its category, went on to win laptops best product of the year overall, end quote. In other words, at the CTIA event, this telecommunications kind of technology event here that was in April, this convention, there was a category of many categories called Mobile CE hyphen Phone / Smartphone. That was the title of the group. There were five companies nominated, five products essentially nominated. Okay, the first, second, and third place winners were announced. The fourth and fifth place winners in that category were not mentioned, so you don't know who finished fourth or who finished fifth. We just know one of them was 01 Mobile. But technically the statement is true, chosen as one of CTIA's top five products of the year in its category. That is a true statement. Then went on to win laptops, that's Laptop Magazine's best product of the year overall. They did not win any overall award at the CTIA Wireless event, which is specifically what they say on the website. Actually, it says best in show. It's best of show. They say best in show, but there can't be any other thing that they mean. And by the way, I did confirm, because I've actually contacted them, that they did win the best overall product for Laptop Magazine. But it's, again, not the CTIA show. Now, of all the product benefits that we've been hearing about this cell phone technology, which, by the way, it's a cell phone that's going to go through the internet as opposed to the normal, you know, cell phone line. So it's going to be a lot faster download speeds, all these kind of things. But of all the things they've said about it, which apparently distributors have been hyping and they're overzealous, and this is a lot of the compliance issues that 01 has. They've been promoting things about the product that just wasn't true, and corporate is really trying to rein people in on this. Of course, now they are, and I think they really are. But of all of these different things, which are true and which aren't? For example, 5G wireless technology. That means fifth generation. Well, the current cell phone technology is third generation. So you don't have to know anything about technology to know that you can't have a fifth generation until you have a fourth one. Otherwise, it's what is it a generation of? So it can't be fifth generation. So we already know that's not true, but yet that was all over the place out there. It's high speed, up to 180 megabytes download speed. 180 megabytes. Now, I'm on Cox Cable, and it's 2.5, 5, or 10 megabytes. Those are the three ranges. I pay for the most expensive, fastest one. That's 10 megabytes. They're going to have 180 megabytes, million bytes. Okay, that's their speed, allegedly. Full broadband replaces your cable internet by tethering the phone or eliminating wireless cards. In other words, you can take your cell phone, connect it to your computer or your laptop, and completely forget your cable modem, your whatever kind of modem system that you pay for, your high-speed internet, dump it. You don't need to pay for it anymore. You can attach your cell phone to your computer and run your internet through your cell phone at faster speeds than you're paying for right now for your cable modem or your wireless service. Movie downloads, two-hour high definition to your phone in a matter of minutes. You can download two-hour movies. Thousands of movies to select from for as little as $1 a download. Live streaming video at 30 frames per second. That's, by the way, about the same resolution you see on your television, same kind of picture. Video conferencing on your phone, up to 6 people on certain types of phones. You can watch TV on your telephone in high definition. Now, some of these are true, some are not, but we don't know. All we know is a lot of stuff that's been out there isn't true, but here's the thing. Corporate right now on their calls is telling people, go buy our approved claims, you know, get your websites approved, and they're really trying to rein people in. That's fine, but of all the calls I've listened to going all the way back to when their 01 relationship started, one thing that's conspicuously absent is a specific declaration of what is being said that's wrong, that's not true. Not one time on a corporate call, and by the way, there's been dozens and dozens, and I admit to have only listening to maybe 80% of them, so maybe I missed one someplace. But of all the opportunities they've had to tell people, stop saying it's 5G wireless technology, they've never said that. They've said, do say what we tell you to say, but they've never denied all of these other benefits. You know, so whatever part of anything I just listed that's not true, they should be out there saying, stop saying this specific thing is an aspect of our phone, it's not true. So they're saying, do say this thing, but they're not saying, stop saying this stuff, at least not publicly on these town hall calls and things like that that they're talking about. And for that matter, I talked about this a little bit on the last podcast, so I'm not going to waste a lot of time on it here, but why is it such a great value at $80 or $90 a month and $300 to $500 for the phone? Because that's what they're charging, by the way, or they're going to charge, I should say, because not here yet. You know, I mean, some of these phones are free if you get on long-term contracts. I mean, I think I paid $49.95 for my phone, you know, with T-Mobile, actually. So, you know, counting the price of the phone and the $80 or $90 a month, you know, Boost Mobile has a plan that's $50 a month, and it's unlimited. Now, and there's other Sprint and some others have some unlimited plans that are a lot cheaper that claim to be unlimited. Now, I understand that Ted Robbins and Mark Petchel and these guys, if they've said, look, they're not really unlimited. It's a misnomer. They really do have caps. They have download limitations and things like that. And they're right. They do. And these companies shouldn't be calling it unlimited when it's not really unlimited. However, even if you go over those amounts and they ding you for a few bucks every month, remember, the average user like me, you know, is where, you know, I use a few hundred minutes a month or something like that. I don't call foreign countries on my cell phone very often. I certainly don't watch TV on it. I mean, the average cell phone user, I don't know why they would find any value to this when they're already paying less. And even if they do have to pay a little more, it doesn't make up for the difference between 50 and 80 or 50 and 90 and the 50 bucks they paid for the phone as opposed to the $500 they paid for their phone. And I'm not saying it's a bad deal. I just don't see what the hoopla is. I mean, even if it is unlimited everything, it's a good deal, but it's not great. You know, and not only that, but there's even a call, that one call I mentioned earlier where it kind of overlapped around the beginning of May, where they were still saying, look, you know, we still sell the T-Mobile like we've been bragging about for the last 3 months, but now we've got this new thing with 01. There was one call where that kind of overlapped. I believe it was Mark Petrel was talking about how, you know, if someone wants just a regular cell phone service, you know, because they don't really use a lot of minutes or they don't use a lot of these other features. Now, this is me talking now, but that would be like most people who have cell phones. Then he says, well, you know, we still have the T-Mobile. You can fall back on that. Well, he's right. That would be, I think, what most people would want for a lot less than 70 or 80 a month and for a phone a lot cheaper than $300 to $500. So I just don't even get what the deal is, even if it did all this stuff. ZenSoft. Let's talk about them. Now, that's their software company, which they're claiming is a equity partner. This is a company that said, look, we want to be in partnership with you. There's an equity position there. In fact, I believe there's some ownership that has been offered to ZenSoft to have a vested interest in the company. Well, it's interesting how they've been kind of like throwing ZenSoft under the bus for a lot of their glitches and problems that they've had. Like they said, for example, when they sent out the applications to all of their triple diamonds for the first phone rollout, they actually somehow lost track of who all their triple diamonds were. That's their top rank. And they claim to have something like 30,000 reps now or something, but how many triple diamonds can they have? Somehow, their technology, their database, or whatever they do to track it, they lost track of who all their triple diamonds were. They talked about how, this was a few weeks ago, but in the back office, they had all these glitches, like right when they did their launch, where people couldn't log in, their passwords weren't working. People that just enrolled couldn't access their back office. Their self-replicating websites, I guess you get two of them, and their second one wouldn't work. You know, emails about how just... that lately they just sent one about their first commission run not going out. This week, their first big commission run was supposed to go out, and they've delayed it 7 to 10 days. Now, I've been around this industry long enough to know what happens when you delay a commission run. I mean, that is not good. And now they've delayed their commission run because, and I'll get to why they really did it in a minute, but the first email that went out a couple of days ago, they threw ZenSoft under the bus. I'll read to you exactly what they said. It says, all e-associates, due to the fact that almost 30,000 people joined Global Verge in June, there have been so many glitches in signups at the back office software, even though they are used to high volumes, I guess that they've got to be referring to ZenSoft here, have been completely overwhelmed. And then it goes on to say, just to be safe, you know, they're going to delay their commission run. Our extremely large commission run will be postponed 7 to 10 days. And then they kind of spin it like, you did a great job in bringing in more distributors than we expected. More distributors than they expected. But on July 7th, Mark Petchel's on tape, I got him saying that they expect 100,000 subscribers by August or September. Remember, for months they've been talking about this explosive growth they're going to have. They're going to have $1 million a month checks. They're going to have 100,000 subscribers. The 50,000 quota was going to be nothing. That was going to be a hiccup. They're going to get that their first month. But now they're claiming 30,000 distributors was more than they expected. There's also another interesting little thing at the bottom of that email, which is their corporate address of 110 North Jefferson Street, St. Louis, Missouri, where they haven't been for over a year. But that's on the email they just sent out. Now, I remember when I first read that email, and I remembered thinking back about all the other glitches they talked about in the back office and stuff like this. I'm thinking, you know, for an equity partner, ZenSoft has got to be getting pretty pissed off by now, I would think. You know, constantly, like, using them as their scapegoat. And by the way, I'm familiar with ZenSoft, and I'm familiar with their work. In fact, a little while ago, I had the opportunity to look at several different companies and try to find one for a company, and they were on my short list. ZenSoft is a good company. It's a good software company. My profession was programming. That's what my degree is in. I'm business data processing, they called it, but it's programming. I programmed in a whole bunch of dead languages that nobody uses anymore, like COBOL and Fortran and RPG and Pascal and Basic A and one other one. Anyway, but that was a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But that point is, I know code. And I know to write computer code to accept a password and search a database and find a match is just not that tough. And I know that software companies give programs what they call a bloodbath. That's programming terminology for doing everything you possibly can for hours to try to make it screw up, no matter how obscure the process might be. And entering a password to log into your back office is not that obscure. I'm sure it's something they tested quite a bit. So I kind of knew that something wasn't right here when they were blaming all this stuff on ZenSoft anyway, because I kind of figured that ZenSoft wasn't really responsible for this. Then I saw this email where they're blaming their late commission run on all of these technology glitches, and it was about, like, in the middle of the night, actually, 3 o'clock in the morning Pacific time. Well, by noon the next day, they sent out this email. To all the associates, we would like to add greater clarity to the email and notification on commissions last night. ZenSoft is not, all capitals, N-O-T, responsible for the commissions being delayed. Now, this is me talking now, and just saying, it appears that somebody at ZenSoft finally called him up and said, look, we had enough. Stop throwing us under the bus. But anyway, they go on to say, ZenSoft has really gone above and beyond in working with us from the very beginning. And later on, they go on to say, the reason for the delay is due to our credit card processing, ACH, and upgrade-downgrade capabilities. ACH, by the way, that's what they mean when you can extract funds or add funds to a checking account, which I'll also get to in a minute. But the point is they did at least come clean at the end of that email. In fact, their problem is they lost their merchant services account. They can no longer accept credit cards. So why did that happen? Now, having been an ex-owner of an MLM company and gone through the grueling process of trying to get a merchant service provider to trust a startup network marketing company into accepting credit cards, I know what the process is. I know it's very difficult to do. To get someone to do it, you've got to pay very high fees. You've got to pay very high retainers. In other words, they withhold a good chunk of that money and keep it kind of in an escrow account until they, you know, you build up some kind of history with them. And they usually put a cap on the amount that you can charge. And if you tell them you're a multi-level marketing company, they simply don't work with you. So a lot of companies will say, we're not a network marketing company, and then they find out that you are, and then they cut you off. I'm not saying that's what happened here. I'm simply saying that's one possibility. The other possibility is they just went over their cap. I mean, the one I was in was $50,000 a month. So that's why I had to set up like more than one. And a lot of banks won't let you have another merchant services account. So you got a limitation right there. So they talk about setting up several. In fact, they're talking about how July 7th, it was Ted Robbins that said they're working with ZenSoft to, quote, allow for multiple processors, end quote. Well, they're working with ZenSoft in the back office to allow for multiple processors. That doesn't mean they have them yet. But they probably will, because they're going to have caps and ceilings on how much they can charge to each one, so they're going to have to jump over to the other one and probably go in order of ascending fees. So it's tough to do, and I kind of feel for them in a sense, but to have a merchant processing account and then lose it, you either had to have told them you weren't MLM and they found out that you were, or you had to have gotten a lot of chargebacks and a lot of complaints. That'll stop them from, you know, accepting your account. And by the way, the company that they were using did refund. They're claiming that they refunded, but, you know, the company itself, but no, the merchant services account refunded a lot of charges to somebody and then just didn't run the rest of them through. So right now, no credit card charges have been going through, which is why they can't do their commission run. Now, the third possibility, which is what they're claiming is that they were just flooded with charges way more than the merchant services account expected. But again, that begs the question, why are they telling the public for months about this explosive growth they're going to have, the 100,000 distributors they're going to have by August or September? And again, this is coming from corporate, not overzealous renegade distributors. You know, all of these things about this explosive growth they're going to have, didn't they tell that to their merchant services provider? How come their merchant services provider was completely blindsided by 30,000 distributors signing up in this thing when they were telling everybody that that's exactly what was going to happen, apparently except their merchant service provider? So in other words, I don't know why their merchant service provider actually shut them off. I don't. And it's a question I would love to ask somebody at, you know, Global Verge Corporate. All I know is I can't think of a single good reason. I can't think of a single positive reason. I've seen how people have spun it out there like, oh, well, because they're switching over to this ACH program because it's a lot cheaper and more convenient and blah. Well, yeah, they are, but that's not an upgrade. They're doing it out of necessity. I also love, too, by the way, and I forget which person at corporate said this, so I won't name a name, but somebody from one of the corporate calls did the same thing that I kind of mock, actually, in one of my seminars about a thing called romantic semantics, where I talk about all the screwy kind of claims that people make in the industry. And many years ago, back in the 90s, there was a company called, it was a company out of Texas called, what was it called? Formula One, I think it was called. They sold a Ma Wang product, Ephedra product. And they kept telling people, we don't accept credit cards because we're in the business of getting you out of debt, not further into debt. That's how they spun it. Of course, I knew someone on the inside there, and I found out that they went to what I was told was 22 different merchant service providers, and they couldn't get anyone to accept them when they first launched the company. So they, you know, lemonade out of lemons. They said, well, you know, we're intentionally not accepting credit cards because we want to get you out of debt, not further in debt. And I've actually heard the same thing alluded to on the corporate calls now in Global Verge. They want to get you not further into debt, so they're not going to accept credit cards like it was their choice or something. But the cat's out of the bag now. They know that they lost their merchant services account. They're trying to go to this ACH thing. But the thing that really disturbs me there is they were telling everybody to go to this online form that essentially emails your bank account information to them. The little padlock symbol, all the security features, they're not there. It's an email form. So you're being asked as a Global Verge distributor to, and it was rather urgently, to provide all of your checking account access information and send it to them by email, which I thought was kind of odd. I noticed on my list here, I skipped one just a little bit further back. I'd also want to ask the question, who are the, and I'm quoting here, many other companies who wanted to merge with us? That's what Mark Petchel said back on March 5th of this year, that they had met with many other companies that wanted to merge with them, but they couldn't do it because these other companies said that they couldn't survive with their high payout. You know, it's in their compensation plan. And Mr. Petchel went on to say that most of these companies only paid about 30%, so they couldn't afford their 85, 90% payout. First of all, I don't know of a single company that pays 30%. Not one, not a single one. I mean, some of the lowest payouts I've seen out there are in the low 30s, but almost every company out there is somewhere in the high 30s to the low 50s. I mean, there's nobody paying 30%, so that's an exaggeration at best. Before we wrap this up, I do want to get to the list of questions that I sent to Ted Robbins. And I also want to make a comment, too, that I'm not a mind reader. I have no idea what the intent of these guys are or, you know, what's in their heart. I certainly know that there are some things that are being said that could be considered to be an exaggeration. They can be just embellishments. And there are some things that are being said, as you've just seen, that are just flat out untrue. But I will say that Mr. Robbins appears to be someone who is being very supportive, very loyal. Most of the things that I have heard that I would challenge are actually not coming from him. And the fact that he even responded to me at all and even attempted to try to respond to any of my questions is, I think, at least admirable. He could have just completely ignored me. So he, as well as the Ruth and Mark, and I'm not going to mention their last names, but there were other two people that are always on their calls that are very supportive and very loyal, and I don't want in any way implicate them as well. If you know what I'm talking about, I think these are also just very good, loyal distributors that are just very committed to their opportunity, and they're standing by their leadership, and they're believing and trusting their leadership. And I think we all should wish that we had distributors that are that loyal and that faithful. Again, I don't want to make any kind of implication that I'm trying to suggest there's any deliberate scam here or anything. I believe, contrary to what most of my peers in this whole watchdog thing tend to believe, that they honestly made a deal with 01 and thought they were going to come out with some great technology and thought they were going to gather up enough funds by funneling everybody in the Global Verge in advance of the phones coming out to put all this together. I think that's what it was for. Global Verge was essentially what they call a feeder program. That's what it appears. Dump all these people on the Global Verge. This will raise up the funds that we'll need to finish the project, to do all of the infrastructure for the phones, and they're falling behind. They can't run credit cards. And now that relationship, I believe, might be in jeopardy. But for whatever reason, I do believe there was honest intent here. And it just doesn't look like it's going to play out. But I do believe some technology to some extent does exist and may still come out into the field at some point. You know, this wasn't just like, let's gather up a bunch of money and then take off and go to Belize. I don't believe that's the case here. But having said that, here is the questions that I asked and the responses that I got from Global Verge Corporate. Number one was, are or will any of the products or services being marketed via your multi-level program also sold through more conventional channels by the company itself? That is, are all of the commissionable products and services sold by your associates exclusively offered through them? So what I'm getting at here is, do they have an exclusive, or can 01 sell this in other places in direct competition with Global One or Buzzerk distributors? And Mr. Robbins' response was, our items are sold through our MLM, and we let people market our products through retail for commissions paid through the MLM. That was the total of his response. In other words, distributors can get cell phone stores to sign up, and they can get a commission off of their volume. In other words, they can get into the downline somehow or whatever, but that isn't really what I was asking. I was asking, can 01 sell in direct competition with their own distributors, which, of course, we now know absolutely they can, and that's what's going to happen. Now, by the way, they've also said, apparently on this call last night, they said that the Buzzerk Mobile, the Global Verge distributors, will have a price advantage over what the big box stores are going to be selling the same service and the same phones for, which doesn't make any sense, because if it was going to be $69.95 and then this MLM company, Global Verge, comes along and they raise it up $10 to account for the commissions they're going to pay out, which we know is a fact is what happened. They've openly said this on their calls. That was on the last podcast. Then now if they put it in stores, are they going to make it more than 10 bucks more for the stores? Because we know it's $69.95, 10 to account for the commissions. If it goes back in stores, you wouldn't need those commissions. Wouldn't it go back down to $69.95? Or perhaps even lower? But they're suggesting the stores are going to sell it for even more than $79.95. So even with the extra 10 bucks, Global Verge distributors will still have a price advantage. But nonetheless, they will have direct competitors out there selling them through retail. And there's not one example in the history of network marketing where that's ever worked. Every company that's ever tried to have their cake and eat it too, to sell it through network marketing and to also sell it through stores, every single one has failed. I mean, remember there was Univite, the amazing microdiet. They tried to sell it through infomercials and through distributors. Distributors revolted. It didn't work. Charles Givens, the author of Wealth Without Risk, he had an MLM program one time where he was selling all this financial information through a network marketing company, but then he would also do his seminars and still try to sell it in direct competition with his own distributors. And it blew up and it didn't work. There was a company that was selling a spray vitamin. They were rebranding it and putting it on Home Shopping Network in direct competition with their own distributors. That got discovered and the thing fell apart. Again, there's not one, name one company out there where they sell retail outside of the compensation plan in competition with their own distributors that's ever survived. That's going to be tough to do, which is probably why they're emphasizing all of their other products, not the cell phone, right now. Question number two was, on the website, buzzerkmobile.com, there's a link to a live chat service. When I accessed this service to inquire about Buzzerk Mobile and Global Verge, I was told by the live chat person who responded that we do not support either of these companies. And his response was, this website was hosted through our previous technology provider prior to signing with 01. Perfectly legitimate excuse, and that's fine, but this is a technology company. This is their business now, and why was this obsolete website with a live operator saying, I don't know who these companies are, still up and running many weeks after they no longer were servicing this company? Number three, your compensation plan is claimed to have a quote-unquote patent pending. Can you provide a copy of the patent application? Because, by the way, I've went to the U.S. Patent Office, and you can look up existing patents and also patent applications, and no keyword in any way associated with any of these companies creates a hit. I cannot find any patent or patent pending. And by the way, they are not just saying patent pending. Back on March 5th of 2009, Mr. Petrel actually said this.
It's really an ingenious thing. I mean, it really will change, and we've talked about this, it will change the way that direct marketing companies operate. Guys, in a year, when we have 40, 50, 80,000 people, and we're making these checks that no one's ever seen before, the industry is going to take notice, and they're going to have to do something. And, you know, we've got a patent on what we've done, and it's just really exciting. So,
okay, so there they're claiming they actually have a patent. It's not pending. It's not an application. They got it somehow. Now, again, maybe that was just a slip, and they reverted back to patent pending. Still, where is it? Now, first of all, it doesn't exist because you can't patent a compensation plan. You just can't do it. So there is no patent pending. But Mr. Robbins' response was, I will get you this information. And I have never gotten that information. And I don't think I ever will. Number four, is it correct that you are under performance requirement of 50,000 subscribers within the next 6 months? If not, what are the terms of the performance requirement, if any? What are the repercussions of not meeting this requirement? And Mr. Robbins' response was, we cannot disclose the terms of the agreement between 01 and our agreement with them. But they can openly talk about it on their national conference calls, I guess. By the way, that last part was me. The quote ended. So again, I was kind of confused by that. But anyway, because it's out there already that they have this performance guarantee, so I thought maybe he would address it. But again, now he says they can't. By the way, they've stopped talking about it on recent calls. So I suspect, and this is only my guess, I'm just speculating, that somebody at 01 finally told them, hey, stop talking about the performance guarantee that was part of our agreement. I'm, again, just guessing. Number five. How does the annual $509.40 basic package, and that's what you pay total for the whole year, the whole first year, and the $1,249.40 professional package have any value to anyone other than Global Verge Associates? How does anyone make an income from these packages without recruiting a new associate? And his answer was exactly as I expected it would be, when you sell products within Global Verge, our associates can earn a commission by selling them. In other words, his response was, well, you can still make money by all the other stuff that we sell, which completely was unrelated to my question. And by the way, I've asked this question many times to various distributors online and message boards and chat rooms and things like that, and they always come back with that answer. And I have to come back again and go, okay, that wasn't my question. How do you make money from the e-associate packages without enrolling another e-associate? That's the question, and it is still to this day completely unanswered. The last question was, has your program been reviewed by an attorney whose practice focuses on the MLM business model? If so, may I communicate directly with this attorney? And his response was, yes, we can get you access to our attorney. And this would have been before their first meeting with Gerald Nera, who, as I said, has not been retained by them and has not reviewed any of their materials and technically is not, at this moment, their attorney. So I don't know who he was referring to, and whoever he was referring to have not been given access to them. So, folks, again, there's your list of questions. There's about 30 of them there. And I wish I had more answers for you. But I think when enough questions are raised without anyone being able to provide any answers anywhere, I think that speaks for itself. And if anyone in a position of authority that can speak on behalf of Global Verge or Buzzick Mobile or 01 wants to come on the show and address these questions, please, please contact me. I would love to do that. I try desperately to have that done before I pose all these questions rhetorically. You can reach me at showfeedback@cox.net for direct feedback on this show, or at my regular MarketWave email address, which is mwave1@cox.net. And I will contact you back by phone, and we will discuss how we can resolve some of these questions, because I want to be fair, and I want to give everybody the opportunity to respond to everything. And by the way, all I ask is that you be reasonable and don't attack me personally. Don't threaten me. Don't threaten the company that I'm not even a distributor for yet, that I'm going to be in a couple of months, because the last leader in the group that I actually spoke to and asked all these questions to, who I noticed was on their call last night, that was the result of it. It was very belittling and insulting and questioned my motives and my ethics, and then not personally, but or physically, but then threatened me, like, you know, if you go after me, I'll go after you, and then if you go after my company, I'll go after your company. I'm not even in the company yet. But, yeah, threats are probably not going to get us very far, too. So if anybody else wants to call me and resolve any of these questions, I'll get you on the show, and you have all the time you need. It's a podcast. We can take 2 hours if you need to. Besides, my voice needs a rest, so you can talk all you want. So give me a call or email me. Let me know. But anyway, in the meantime, I will keep you posted as any more information comes up. The next podcast, I want to focus more on a couple of companies that I'm getting a lot of requests for commentary on. One is eFusion and one is iJengo. So I'll give you a little bit of commentary on those two companies. And also, by the way, I just want to mention very quickly, I did get a call and I had a conversation with Andrew Cass. And Mr. Cass and I are trying to find some common ground and how we might be able to resolve our differences. And I will keep you updated as to what the results of that will be. But we are in communication. I've invited him onto the show, and he's not accepted. But we are having some private conversations. So I'll let you know how that is also resolved. Right now I'm actively trying to contact a couple of people that he asked me to contact as references. And Andrew, if you're listening, I've got calls in to both of them. More than one, actually. I'm going to shut it down for the weekend, but I will vigorously renew my efforts again on Monday to speak to those two gentlemen. We'll see where that leads us. So anyway, thanks a lot, everybody. I appreciate you hanging in there with me for another marathon too long show. But you got all the information I got at this point, so I'll see you back here in probably a week
wait,
or two.
Wait.
With, hold on, all the news that's fit to print.
Hold
so
on,
everybody else, have a good weekend. Thanks a lot.
Don't
Bye-bye.
End the show yet. Hang on.
Nope, we're not done yet. Got some breaking news. This is now actually Saturday morning, the next day, as I was producing this podcast, ready to post it, I actually got a copy of an MP3 of the call that occurred, the Diamond call. Everything I'd referenced in the podcast up to this point was just based on information that I'd gotten from some people that had listened to it and what they had said and some outlines of what was presented and so forth. But now that I've actually listened to the call, there's a couple of things I just want to throw in before we officially end this podcast. First of all, it looks like there's been a little management shakeup. Mark Petchel has been elevated to the rank of co-founder. That's how they're spinning it. He is no longer the CEO. They're bringing in a new CEO, which they didn't even name on the call. It's just somebody with a lot of industry experience that's coming in, MLM industry experience. But it's interesting that the speaker on the call, who, by the way, the person I referenced earlier, their leader that had called me, that where after our conversation was over, I had to pry the melted headset from my ear, that guy, who threatened to, you know, go after me and the company that I'm not even in yet and things like that. Well, he was the one that was now hosting this call. Apparently, he's going to play some role in the restructuring of the company. But he said total transparency now. No more, you know, hiding. We're going to just talk straight. And then the very first thing that he says is that the person who was the co-founder and the CEO is now going to be just co-founder, but that's being elevated. That's somehow like a promotion. Mark Petchel was already the co-founder and the CEO. Now he's just the co-founder, and there'll be a new CEO. That's not an elevation. And frankly, if I was anybody on that call, I would be insulted that someone thinks that I'm that stupid to not understand that that's not an elevation. But then they go on to talk about how I guess sometime in the middle of next week, they're going to be able to run credit cards again because they're reestablishing a merchant services account. You know, I'm not saying they're not going to, and I'm sure there's going to be ways to do that. There are credit card companies out there. There are merchant service accounts out there where you can accept credit cards that are for very high risk or type of companies or what they're or perceived to be very high risk. And they offer kind of like loan shark rates, you know, and fees, and you have big security deposits you've got to give with them, and they're all going to have these caps, you know, limiting the amount of charging that you can put through. So it's hard enough for a young network marketing company to get one of these accounts anyway, but now they've already gotten one that's been canceled. It's going to be even harder. So there are companies out there that'll do it for you, and I'm sure they're going to be able to do it, but I don't know how they're ever going to not have the same issues again, where a credit card company isn't going to put the same kind of caps and ceilings. And by the way, yeah, my ceiling fan and air conditioner is on because it's 2 degrees hotter today than it was yesterday. So, I'm sorry, indulge the background noise.
No, so anyway, but they're going to get their credit card accounting back and so forth, and then they can start running the charges through for June and July and then start paying commissions and so forth. They're making those promises. But they also made a comment that they've hired Jerry Nira as their attorney. At least this guy Steve that was hosting the call said that he is going to be working on things, but then they introduced another in-house counsel, another attorney, who, again, I'm not going to name because I don't want to implicate him, because I'm sure that he's just believing everything that he's being told. I don't believe at all that he is in any way trying to misinform people when he said that he believed that Jerry Nira is actively looking at things right now. Mr. Nira is not looking at anything right now. In fact, I just confirmed that again this morning. Okay, he has not officially been retained by Global Virgin. He is not reviewing anything. Not that he may not be in the future, but again, right now, he's not reviewing anything. So again, I confirmed that again this morning. That's the new shakeup. So Mark Petchel is now being elevated to co-founder and revamped the company, bringing in a whole new management team, which is interesting because I kind of thought they had a qualified management team already. That's what they've been bragging about. But they're going to kind of clean house and shake everything up and get everything going. But the last point I want to make, which is just something that I cringe when I hear this. They talk about how they have the SIM cards, of course, that they originally said we were going to come out with on July 1st, is now going to be anywhere from 8 to 30 days. Now, first of all, 8 to 30 days. So this far into it and this close of a relationship to 01, by the way, Ben Polani got on the call briefly, essentially to confirm that he is branching out because it makes, he said, business sense to branch out into other areas and other markets. So he is going retail with this product. He essentially confirmed that. They don't have an exclusive anywhere outside of the network marketing industry, so they will be competing against them. But they, you know, that close of a relationship, but yet they can't narrow down when the SIM cards are going to be programmed. These are the cards that go in the phone to essentially make them do all the stuff they say they're going to do. To 8 to 30 days, that big of a window. But anyway, 8 to 30 days could be another month until then. And they've got 400 phones in stock, in inventory right now, just waiting for these SIM cards. So here's a company they now claim to have as many as 40,000 distributors. That's what was said on this call. It could be as much as 40,000 distributors that's in the company right now, and they're very, very close. That's a quote. They're very, very close to finally getting this going and having everything in place. Wait a minute. You've got 40,000. So you've got SIM cards that are possibly a month away to making enough phones work to supply 1% of your total distributor base, let alone anybody else out there in the general population and your personal customers. You know, and you're very, very close. Sounds like they're a long, long way away to me. But anyway, that's the way they're spinning it with their newfound candor and transparency. Anyway, if I think it's hot here now, wait till I hear my inbox and my email I'm going to be reading after I post this podcast. So that's it. That's everything that's new up to this moment. This is kind of a moving target. Hopefully I'm going to produce this and post it in time before something else comes up that I'm going to have to add to this, because every day something new comes up that should be considered. But that's it. So we're done for sure this time. Thank you all for listening, for hanging in there for my little epilogue to this story. And we'll see you again here in a few days. Thanks a lot. Thanks for listening. Have a good weekend.